Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, greetings, Grapple fans, and welcome to the first part of a two-part WrestleMania special Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. So tonight, today, whenever you may be listening to this, but it's night as we record it, the first part is myself and the irrepressible Guy Drinkle. We are going to quite briefly recap the whole kind of WrestleMania weekend, all the way from Hall of Fame through NXT TakeOver, Mania itself, Raw, SmackDown, and a little bit of look ahead to next week with the whole Superstar Shake-Up thing. So, you know, there's about something like, you know, 36 hours of wrestling over 5 days. So we're going to go briefly over the whole thing, just give our kind of thoughts, ups, downs, and all arounds and all the rest of that. And then on the second part, it's going to be a little bit more in depth, and Mo Chatra is going to give you your full analysis, match by match, of TakeOver and Mania, let you know how he scored things and all the ups and the downs from the technical standpoint, that specialist knowledge that Mo Chatra himself brings. So anyway, on with tonight. And as I said, yes, I am, of course, joined straight out of the Guyrilla position. I haven't said that one for a while. It's the one and only Guy Drinkle. Howdy, Guy.
How you doing, Andy? How are you doing?
I am somewhat fatigued by watching so much wrestling in the space of 5 days. I'm not sure I'm quite as fatigued as the crowd was by the end of Mania, though.
Oh, God, no. It's next levels, that. I mean, they're probably more tired than the performers themselves. it's a bit of a mad one.
I know we'll get through to that, but I can't recall a Mania crowd crapping on a main event in quite that way. You know, the ending of WrestleMania being on such a low like that. But that was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Well, I said it in the preview, didn't we? I mean, we get flashbacks of Goldberg versus Brock the first time around. I think I actually mentioned that match in the preview, but I don't think it was that hostile. But no. If it went a bit longer, it may have bloody done.
But that's the thing, that you know, Goldberg and Brock Lesnar from, you know, God, whatever, 12 years ago, whatever it was, at least that one was, you know, sort of midway through the card in the night, so true to speak. It wasn't the thing that you close with. Oh, geez. Anyway, we'll get, like you said, we're going to get to that bit. First of all, the Hall of Fame then. I mean, you know, there's all the, you know, arguments as to what, you know, what is really Hall of Fame worthy careers, and, you know, who should be in, who shouldn't be in, and all be in it, and all the rest of that. I tell you what, highlights for me, Dudley boys, not just their acceptance speech, which was great. It was everything that I want the Hall of Fame to be, you know, a mixture of them kind of stepping out of character, being themselves, entertaining the crowd, some stories from on the road, but also their induction speech from Edge and Christian, a bit of humor in there. It was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed that part of it. What about you guys? Did you catch much of the Hall of Fame, or did you not really bother?
I didn't watch the entire thing. I didn't watch any of it on purpose, to be honest. As I said last week, it's not really my cup of tea, and I only really knew, I only grew up watching, a couple of them, so I wasn't that bothered. But just going off the highlights, they obviously showed at Mania. Mark Henry got his purple jacket out. That's all I needed from that weekend.
Oh, yeah, the big pink jacket.
Yes, it's all I needed. And his son dressed exactly the same as him.
That was pretty awesome, actually. His son was quite a character. That was fun. I tell you what, Mark Henry's speech was really kind of heartfelt, and it really hit the spot. It came across really well. Another one that was really good was Jeff Jarrett. His was a good speech. Again, what I'd want, for me, what I want the Hall of Fame to be about, a mixture of them sharing, personal things, the career, some shout outs, but also some, stories from on the road. And he gave a few Owen Hart stories, which were just brilliant. And it's like, well, that for me is what it should be about. And some of it, oh my word, it just putting me to sleep. It really, really was putting me to sleep. So, I mean, the Hall of Fame, this is the thing, right? The Hall of Fame actually went on longer than NXT TakeOver. So,
oh God.
Exactly. That's mad, isn't it? And that includes the what they call it, the pre-show thing they have before it as well. Is
the red carpet.
No, I mean, as in like the main the Hall NXT. Of Fame ceremony was longer than NXT TakeOver and the TakeOver pre-show. So it's like,
Jesus,
it's a big ask. It really got to be a big ask.
Yeah, I mean, but you can accept a bad match, but to have 4 hours of people talking, Jesus.
Especially when half of it was pretty damn boring. But, yeah. Anyway, so we mentioned TakeOver.
The good stuff.
Oh, geez. It's weird, isn't it? It's because it's like how often we've talked, we've spoken about the NXT TakeOver shows being so good. And even when you look at the card on paper and it perhaps doesn't look too brilliant, but it manages to over deliver and still be brilliant. We looked at that card on paper and thought, this is going to be good. Yet still, somehow, it still manages to over-deliver. I mean, what is it with NXT TakeOver shows that are just ridiculously good? And like you say, they just over-deliver every single time. It's incredible.
All you can put it down to is the people behind the scenes are doing it perfectly. And also, the actual wrestlers, they have a certain level of freedom to perform, whereas if you look on the main card, they're obviously more, probably indoctrinated is probably the right word, they're indoctrinated into a WWE style and stuff like that, and they have certain time commitments and stuff like that, and it's all very much scripted and stuff like that. I know people say wrestling scripted, but you can see in the matches that in NXT there seems to be so much more freedom. And I know
the time we say time commitment there, we've only got 9 hours.
Oh, Well, you think you see NXT, it was 3.5 hours, and then a bit more with the pre-show.
Yeah.
But so much more happened on NXT than WrestleMania, didn't it?
Yeah. But the thing is, did you come away from NXT TakeOver thinking, I want more? You know what I mean? You come away from it thinking, I want more. Whereas from any of the normal pay-per-view, the main roster pay-per-views, I know Mania is a hell of a lot longer, but they're sort of like are typically around that 3 hours.
Yeah.
Do you come out of that 3 hours thinking, oh, I want more? Or do you think, oh, God, that's done. Thank God that's done some of it.
Well, put it this way, with NXT, I stayed up all through the night, and I was pretty buzzed till like 5 in the morning, like fucking pumped after watching that main event, and I'll probably talk about the match. WrestleMania, I fell asleep, like, bang on. I was gone. I turned the telly off, turned my Xbox off, which I was streaming at home, straight to bed. NXT, I was literally walking around the house at 5 in the morning, just going, wow, that was fucking awesome.
It was, wasn't it? I mean, yeah. I've got to admit, I didn't watch it live. I watched it the next morning, and it was just incredible. It was fantastic. And it's just, and that's the thing, isn't it? We said that there's just, they always seem to come up with something to take things further. I mean, even like, you know, the tag titles.
Mm.
Well, start off with that ladder match. Ah, Jesus. Like, how good was that ladder match? I'm going to say not necessarily the greatest that I've ever seen, but it's right up there, and it was just so much fun to watch.
Thing is, it's so unique. I mean, you say it's not the best ladder match and stuff like that. Obviously, like TLC 1 and 2 from back in the day is obviously up there in terms of that style of match. This must be one of the most unique ones. You got fucking Killian Dane, who's fucking huge, performing like a goddamn cruiserweight. You got Lars Sullivan, who's a machine. And then you've got just every... Well, Ricochet, it's the first time I've seen him. Fuck me, he's mental. It just had such a unique blend compared to what you normally have in a WWE ladder match. Normally you have one big man, it's normally Kane or Big Show, let's be honest, where they're much loved and stuff like that, and legends, but they're limited in what they can do, especially in the last 10-15 years. But now, just looking at the NXT roster, you're not limited by what you can do. I mean, we've seen like Luke Harper and stuff like that be a bit more jumpy about for a heavyweight. But Killian Dane takes it to the next fucking level, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's so unique compared to some ladder matches we've seen, and it just was perfect. It really was perfect, and everyone played a role.
Yeah, and I've got to say, even storyline wise, because I must admit, I thought they would, you know, go straight for the cocky heel EC3, put the title on him, mm-hmm. and really push him that way, but having Adam Cole win the title, when you get to what happens later with the tag team titles, mm-hmm. it's like storyline wise, that makes perfect sense as well. You know what they've done, it all makes perfect storyline sense. And it's like, you know, simple logic. Who'd have thought that would be successful?
Well, on our preview, looking at it now, all of it's just so simple, like, okay, Roderick Strong, he has history, it makes sense. But you just look at it, and like, I was watching it, I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty much perfect. That's pretty much perfect. But if you imagine if that was main roster, you'd probably have, like, I don't know, Kyle O'Reilly portraying Adam Cole or some shit, wouldn't you? NXT is just perfect. I mean, You've got a whatever we're going to call it, a pay-per-view, whatever we're going to call it. It has storylines intertwined in matches on the same pay-per-view, never mind weekly shows.
Yeah.
The storyline's progressing in the pay-per-view itself. It was just brilliant. And I know we're not going to go through match through match, but...
No, that surprise, though. Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
You know, I love the way that got the crowd. You know, that talk, like, whoa, and you were, that was one of them mobs, like, whoa. And then afterwards, it's like, I love the way as well that they look surprised, you mm-hmm. know, that they sold it as they were surprised, you know, that this was actually a snap decision. And then you think in terms of logic, okay, at some point he's thought, you know what the hell, I want to be a champion with these, you know, he's made the decision, and it makes sense that it's a snap decision, not like, oh, this was the plan all along, that's why we were beating the crap out of each other for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was, and you could see their look on their faces like, whoa, cool, that's it. And it was, little things like that, I thought that was really good, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Adam Cole winning and then pretty much being out of the tag team match, it was like, oh, well, this is going as we thought. Pete Dunne and Roddy's going to win. But no, the turn was just brilliant. It was just brilliant. And you know what it does? It creates a new ground for NXT. We're going to create a power stable. I mean, we've seen three-man groups as tag team champions, but we've never seen one that has three titles, as in tag team champions and the singles one. So I can't think of NXT champion with a stable behind him.
And now
it just creates a new dynamic for NXT.
Mm. Yeah, that's it. It's a different direction. It also creates new rivalries and new storylines and something else to come off it. And then,
well, if they develop with Pete Dunne, imagine what they can do with the British scene.
Oh, well, these are things what Pete Dunne is just phenomenal. He really is, and I think they know. I think they know just how good he is and what he's got in him. The crowd really taken to him, and they recognize it. He is something special. And so, I mean, I think the title, as most of us expected, we expected Aleister Black to win the title, and that was a great match. I actually think there's a bit more to come from them too, which is not a bad thing. I like the story they told again, but as you mentioned, you know, I said, didn't I, in the preview that I thought that the title, you know, being traditional everything, the title would be what closes the show, because that's often the case with NXT.
Bloody glad
but
it
instead,
wasn't.
Well, this is the thing, yeah. And this is the thing with them, is they went against that. They went with a non-sanctioned match to finish the show. And you know what? It was absolutely the right decision, because the crowd was so into it, the whole story, it was just... It was brilliant, absolutely. And the way that they closed that match out, I mean, them sat there, you know, next to each other, the way that they did that, just like, you know, and even the commentators being in on that as well, you know, that taking it back to the Cruiserweight Classic, to what happened, that storytelling at its best. It was poetry. It was amazing. And I guess that's, you know, that ending the show, watching that, is why you walking around your house at 5 a.m. buzzing.
Fuck it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm looking forward to speaking to more, like, in detail about this match. But what I think I said on the preview, if it's anywhere near Almas and Gargano, it's gonna be the match of the year contender. But it's literally just gone and took the piss out of that match and topped it. I know people probably have different opinions on that, and some maybe wrestling purists will think Gargano and Almas was better, but this was just an absolute war combined with phenomenal wrestling, phenomenal spots.
Yeah, it's hard for me to pick between them, because they're both brilliant.
Well, we know Match of the Year is going to be on NXT this year in terms of WWE. So, if anything tops that on the main card, fuck me. but yeah, that main event, it was special. It was absolutely special. If anyone has a word of criticism about that, they're a twat. I'll say it to the face, they're a twat. It was perfect.
It was brilliant. And it was just, I think it just personified sort of NXT and the takeovers, and just how good they are, and the crowd as well, really hot.
That is what wrestling is about.
Yeah, the atmosphere was brilliant. Everything. It was just, you know, if you ever go to the States for WrestleMania for that whole thing, it's almost like, yeah, I've got, you know, we're going
Fuck
to receive
that.
WrestleMania.
Fuck that.
It's like,
the
hang on,
to watch NXT.
The NXT takeover is the one that I want. Got to make sure we've got to see that show, because it's you know, death. What's it they say? You know, death and taxes is the only thing guaranteed. Well, there's a third thing guaranteed now. NXT takeover is going to be the show of the weekend.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I mean. If you paid, I imagine it'd be hundreds of pounds to get to America, and you just went to go watch WrestleMania, you'd come home kind of pissed. But if you went to NXT as well, you'd be like, yeah, I watched half a good WrestleMania and NXT was fucking phenomenal. It's worth my money.
Well, that I mean, let's get to it then, because, you know, there's no two ways about it. If you didn't rate NXT TakeOver show, don't know what's wrong with you. Basically, you need sorting out. That over-delivered. And we'd been saying on the preview show, you know, this WrestleMania card promises, you know, potentially, it promises to potentially be one of the best WrestleManias ever. Because certainly in ring wise, it was stacked. And it was like, so if NXT TakeOver over-delivered, you think coming out of it that Mania under-delivered?
Yeah, I think WrestleMania is like anti-NXT. I know NXT just had a stacked card and it was bloody brilliant, but we say when NXT has a limited card, it over-delivers. When WrestleMania has a really good card, it tends to be shit. That's what this was. I know people think I'm probably being harsh, but probably more than half the matches were pretty crap. I know there were some cool moments and stuff like that, but just the second half of the show, or maybe the last third of the show, it just killed it. It killed any of the good parts of WrestleMania. I know we'll go through some of the big moments, but like, you had Ronda, you had Bryan, and you had the positive start with the two first matches. That's going to get overshadowed again by Nakamura and AJ not being what anyone hoped it'd be. Braun Strowman, Braun Strowman tag teaming with a kid. That sounded weird. Teaming with a kid.
That sounded weird. We don't want to go there.
It's half past midnight where we're recording this. And we touched on the main event at the start, didn't we? That was just fucking shockingly bad.
That's the thing. I watched the pre-show, the Mania pre-show, watched that live. I watched the first 2 hours of Mania live. I wasn't intending to watch that much of it, but I was kind of enjoying it. I think it was quite good up to that point.
It kept you awake,
didn't it? And then it was just kind of running out of steam to the, and I don't know. I said to you, I think the crowd were just physically tired. They were losing their energy, and it was almost like the show was losing its energy. And in the end, it just kind of became disappointing, really. And that was the thing, is so many of the matches where we expected so much ended up being pretty disappointing. And that's not that whole sort of, ooh, the internet wrestling community being bitching that. It was, we had really high hopes, and maybe our hopes were too high, because it did feel like it's just pretty disappointing.
Well, this WrestleMania had actually a good build. I mean, the Undertaker stuff could go either way. But you had Brock looking like an absolute animal, and most people expected Roman to outdo that beast. No, he literally just took the piss. You had Nakamura AJ Styles, which did its best in a SmackDown situation, which is that we've criticised so many times on this pod. They did the best in that. We were just like, because it was that kind of neutral, both of them faces, we were expecting a wrestling clinic. And it just really wasn't. I think most people's worry of that of the WrestleMania card was Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon. That was my main worry going into that show, that that them two would get too much ring time, and it'd kind of highlight Ronda being green and Stephanie being what she is, like she wrestles once every decade or something, up every 5 years. I'll do the proper analysis. Ronda Rousey. Take a bow.
My God, Jesus. She was so quick. She was so quick, so fluid. It was incredible. And they protected her well in that she got fleeting moments. But what she did so, so well and so impressively. And it was like, that match was so much better than I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. I think some people have perhaps got a bit carried away with how good they, you know, actually say it was. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was a good match, and it was certainly a lot better than I expected. And then probably better than it had any right to be. But I thought, to be honest, I'm watching it, I thought this is going on too long, because the stuff with Angle and Triple H was just going on too long. And I'm sorry, I remember Pete Kurt Angle, you know, the phenomenal, brilliant Kurt Angle.
It's a bit sad, isn't it?
This is broken down Kurt Angle, and he can barely walk. He can't stand up properly. You know, it's like, this is not a Kurt Angle I want to see in the ring anymore. I really don't want to see this. So I thought it went on too long. And for me, the extra time, you know, that should have been chopped by 5 minutes, and then give that 5 minutes to Asuka and Charlotte, because that match was brilliant. I just wanted another 5 minutes of it. That's how good it was. I just wanted another 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I mean, we talked last week about the Women's Revolution needing that one-on-one match. That was awesome, and that really was. I mean, I have my question marks over the person who won. Mm-hmm. I'll explain them too in the next show a bit more. But yeah, I think we saw on SmackDown as well, kind of the reason why Charlotte maybe won. Obviously, Carmella cashing in. If she broke the streak on Asuka, I mean, people would have literally stopped watching.
I suppose there is that, but then
that's not a good enough excuse, is it?
I guess there's pros and cons. There's no sort of perfect scenario, but I mean, like you say, you know, with how long WrestleMania was, I mean, it was over 5 hours. It was over five hours, and a 2 hour pre-show, and you think, you know, them battle royals, they were dreadful. They were absolutely dreadful. The Cruiserweight match, that was pretty good. Nice moment in there. Yeah, well, this is the thing as well, yeah. Why the hell would you cut halfway through a match to promote, you know, matches on a show that we're already watching? It's like, really?
I'm watching the WWE Network just for the pre-show.
What the hell? what do you reckon, you know, in terms of the match that really got you off your seat the most? Because for me, probably the opening match, it's got to be between that and Asuka Charlotte, I thought. Because that triple threat for the Intercontinental title, that was so good.
Yeah, I think that was the perfect opener, really. I would have said Asuka Charlotte, but as I said, I'm a bit arsy with who won, and as you said, it felt a bit short. So I'd probably pick Ronda myself. I don't think it was just for the surprise factor more than anything, because I thought it'd be like very scripted and stuff, but I thought it was pretty damn good, and it may have went a bit longer, but compared to the card after that, it was the real highlight for me. So I'd say that just off pure surprise factor. But the first two matches, the IC title and the SmackDown Women's title, were probably the best wrestling match. But just for surprise factor, I'd pick Ronda.
Oh, and by the way, I would also like to claim some kudos on my prediction for the whole John Cena Undertaker thing.
True.
Because I was pretty damn close, actually.
I called the pre-show, but...
Oh, well, that was a thing as well. And the reason why I was so... I could kind of see it happening, you know, when we recorded the pod, previewing it, you know, what they were going to do. I could see it happening, you know, and it was, you know, get the attention, John Cena's in there, all this, and this will be quirky, this is a different way to do things, and yeah, it is. But what we feared would happen if they did that is exactly what happened, wasn't it? You know, we had like, I don't know, about 50 cutaways, to John Cena sat at ringside. There's God knows how many fans kept coming down for selfies. Commentators kept talking about him, and it's like there's matches going on in the ring.
You also had him interrupting what probably one of the biggest woman wrestling moments.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh yeah. That run to the back.
Yeah, which is now a famous meme, obviously. It was funny, but I felt it was a bit. It was just a bit weird that you've had this historic moment and it's like saying is there. It's like, okay.
Well, I mean, people were, because he was drinking, he was legit drinking beer there as well. So I said, I mean, my call was that the ref had gone over into him and said, you know, he said, let me know when Jinder Mahal match is coming on. And so the ref come over and said, oh, you know, John, the Jinder Mahal match is next. So I was like, I've had 4 beers. I'm busting for a piss. I ain't waiting in no queues with all the plebs. I'm running up the ramp and then I'm going to the stall there. Jeez.
You just reminded me Jinder Mahal won the US title.
That was bad. That was a pretty awful. That was the piss break match though, wasn't it?
Well, I was hoping Rusev would win and I'm still taking that middle finger at the face right now. Well, SmackDown fucking double middle finger.
They're burying him. If he's on his way out, they're burying him.
Quite literally, that he's in a casket match with fucking Undertaker.
The Undertaker can have the final thing of literally burying him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was... And that Taker-Cena match. Oh, my God. That was dreadful. That was absolutely dreadful. It really was. Now,
well, if we avoid talking about the match and just talk about Elias being fucking brilliant.
That was funny. But the only thing I want to talk about in terms of that Cena Taker thing is I want to ask you actually is I think what we're going to get from this is it's setting up a rematch at WrestleMania next year. And that is going to be Undertaker going out because he always said he wants to go out on his back. So that'll be Undertaker ending his career, losing to John Cena. That's my guess. What do you reckon?
It's the losing to John. I know he just fucking steamrolled him, but I don't think John Cena's the right one to end his career, to be honest.
Whether it's right or wrong, do you think that's going to happen?
I can see the rematch. I'm not sure if John Cena would win, though. That's my only... I can definitely see the rematch. I don't think you can create the emotion that... The only comparable ones, really, is Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, isn't it? I don't think you can recreate that at the moment. I think it's a weird one. You could have recreated that with, obviously, Shawn and Triple H, but... John Cena or Undertaker don't really have a link, whereas HBK and Ric Flair kind of did. So I don't think there is a link there, if you get what I mean.
Yeah. And the other one, I guess, is what was your favourite chant from the crowd during the main event?
Oh, God, fucking probably this is boring during the main event.
What about the normal this is awesome? They turned it into this is awful.
Yeah, that was the one.
I was quite impressed, actually. They at least they showed a bit of energy during the main event, you know, to vent their spleen. Oh, but
nothing gets a crowd up like a shit match.
Well, just like how many moves were in that match? Because my guess is I'm going to say less than six. Off the top of my head, we had Release German, F5, yes. Release German, Sumo, yeah. Release German, belly-to-belly suplex.
Brock did a knee to the face.
Yeah, not really a move. It's just a strike, isn't it? Then there's
two.
The Superman punch, the spear. That's it?
He cocked his fist, if that counts as a move.
20 minutes of five moves. It was awful, wasn't it, really? Let's be honest. It was awful. And the thing is, as well, is like, I found it curious the way that, you know, that it, you know, the show normally ends and then you get all the little cutaway segments and all, you know, the VT package and all that. Then they went back to ringside and you had Roman Reigns there. I found that a bit curious. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, we might get something happening with Roman Reigns, a change in direction?
The weird thing is I don't. I think you obviously saw Joe come out on Raw, and well, Joe's fucking, he's probably one of the best characters on yeah. TV, and he's injured half the time and he's still that fucking good.
His promo was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I think that's seemingly where they're going to go with Roman. It's just that fucking Saudi Arabia thing. So it's so close to Mania. You can see them, let's be honest, being bribed into ruining Mania to have a big moment in Saudi Arabia. And you can see Reigns going over, finally beating Brock over there in a cage match, which would suck so much.
Yeah, I can't see them changing the title, but I don't know. Not there. I don't know. I might be wrong. You could be bang on.
Well, Backlash is now, it's obviously, all of them are co-pay-per-views, aren't they? So you can carry pay-per-views with the WWE title, can't you? And seemingly that's going to be AJ Styles, Bryan and Nakamura.
So Brock Lesnar can have even less matches.
Yeah, exactly. his new contract must literally be WrestleMania and SummerSlam.
Universal Championship. Yeah. That universe includes UFC.
This
is the thing, I suppose, with Mania, that it is kind of like a two-half show, isn't it? You know, the first half is good, and then the second half is, like, forgettable.
A big piss break.
Yeah. What about the Daniel Bryan stuff, then?
I forgot about that.
Because I got to tell you...
It was weird.
The crowd for that was probably the last thing the crowd were really, really up for.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, the last bit of energy they had went... Because that was spectacular, wasn't it, seeing him?
Yeah. I don't think they needed the injury angle at the start, did they? I mean, the more they use that apron powerbomb, the less it's going to be, because people seem to be coming back from that quicker than ever.
Yeah, that's very true.
Originally, it put Sami Zayn out for weeks, and now people are coming back in a match.
Yeah.
it's kind of killing that. But yeah, as soon as that happened, you knew Bryan was going to win. It got Sammy and Kevin heat that Shane hasn't been able to get. The stuff where it was 2-on-1 with Shane, it was just very bland and shit that we've seen for ages, hasn't it? But as soon as Bryan came in the ring, there was a certain explosion of interest, wasn't there? And that's what we were hoping. But I thought maybe they'd swerve us somehow and get KO and Sammy winning, but the swerve seemed to be on Raw, where they just kind of rocked up, didn't they?
We got nothing from that either.
No. Yeah, save it for the draft, won't it? But no, it was nice to see Bryan. It was one of the feel-good moments, wasn't it?
Yeah. One final thing on the Mania thing, though. We mentioned briefly that the AJ Styles-Nakamura... The match itself, I didn't think it was like a really bad match. It was disappointing for them, and especially having watched what they've done before in Japan. This was so different. It was a lot slower, but afterwards, in context, you can kind of go, okay, that was really just the beginning of a story, which you can kind of take as, okay.
You could have done that 3 months ago.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's using WrestleMania to develop the story when WrestleMania is meant to be the end of the story. I mean, they'll probably end up main eventing Backlash and it'll be a fucking 5-star match. Where it's not going to get the interest of the globe, and then when WrestleMania rocks up next year, like Nakamura's that shit guy from last year who did nothing, whereas although his WWE run's not been great, and I've not watched any of his New Japan stuff, but you can see, even from just his NXT days, that Nakamura is a fucking, obviously an awesome worker, but he's not shown it on WWE, whereas if he did it at WrestleMania, he would have kind of announced himself on that stage. But if he does it at Backlash, you'll just get the people who already know he's good saying that he's good. So it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it was disappointing. I mean, I'm not sure quite where they're going to go in terms of Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. You can see them two asking for the release at some point. The money that they can make on the independent circuit and the way that they've been used quite sort of disappointingly on SmackDown for a while now. But, you know, you mentioned the Ron Raw. What did you make of the Raw after Mania? I mean, I'll tell you one thing I really disliked, and that was at the beginning of Raw and SmackDown, was that whole, you know, when it's the Raw after Mania and SmackDown after Mania, the crowd are here, it's a very international thing. They're having fun. They boo who they normally cheer, and they would cheer who they'd normally boo. And it's like, why do they do that? No, they boo Roman Reigns every week.
Must be a lot of Europeans going around the country.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, it's just getting a bit stupid, commentary like that. Just to mention commentary, you know, I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but this weekend showed to me how much a good commentator can add to a card. Mauro Ranallo, however you pronounce his name, he added so much to NXT, whereas if you listen to the WrestleMania commentary, you had Coach, who's...
terrible.
He's probably better than Booker T, just because he's not mental.
Yeah, it's
still
awful. That's not saying much.
Yeah, it's still awful. I mean, Michael Cole, Corey Graves.
Corey Graves needs excitement. He's brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, it needs that level of excitement. And Mauro Ranallo does that on his own.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Sorry to interrupt there.
Yeah, no problem.
Here's one for you then. You know, like you said, Mauro Ranallo was brilliant and he's so passionate. On Michael Cole, am I the only one who was listening to him, hearing some of the things he's saying? Like, I don't know, as though he's like losing the passion for doing what he's doing. I don't know. You know, some of it is like, oh, really? You know, it sounds as though he almost like doesn't care anymore.
He obviously does care, but I mean, he's probably been on mic now for what, 20 years? No. He's probably been in the WWE that long, but he's probably been on comms for all of the 2000s.
Yeah, probably about
that's
15 years.
That's a long time.
To have Vince shouting in your ear.
Yeah. I mean, there were those rumours last year that he was going to take like a backseat role and train people, but it does need freshening up. And I know Mauro obviously had the shit with JBL and stuff. Obviously JBL's now gone, but if they can get him on Raw, maybe the week-to-week stuff is maybe too much for some people, but if they can get him on pay-per-views or something, he adds so much to the occasion. Like, if he was on the WrestleMania card, imagine what he'd do for that John Cena segment. He'd be going fucking mental. And it was a shit segment.
But with just him
there, I'd be like, well, this is fucking awesome.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What about the debuts on Raw then?
Ember Moon's, it was a bit weird Nia getting her in, because it kind of overshadowed the new Raw champ. But yeah, Ember Moon going on Raw, I think it's the right decision. Well, it's weird with the draft. I think they'll try and keep Ember and Asuka away from here, from each other. Because that kind of makes sense.
We've got the whole shake-up thing next week, though, haven't we?
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which we will briefly mention before we go. But what about the Authors of Pain then? Because I've got to say, I was slightly disappointed. I thought, you know, the way that they did it, that segment was a bit silly. You know, the way that, how all of a sudden, you know, Rhino and Heath Slater wanted to, you know, have an open challenge. I thought it would have been made more sense for they were like, you know, the fourth team in the tournament or something like that.
It would have been good for them to go against a proper tag team as well. I'm not saying like go steamroll the Revival or the Club. I mean, fucking WWE's been doing much of that anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But say if they came out just as a team, didn't do this open challenge shit, because Heath Slater and Rhino, obviously, when SmackDown split, they had a nice popular run, but nowadays,
that gimmick wore off a long time ago.
Say if it was just a normal bracket, a bit of a crap team came out, and then they came out, just steamrolled them, it would have been better. But the weird thing for me was them turning the back on Paul Ellering. I'm not sure. Maybe Paul Ellering just doesn't want to do the main
card schedule. I'm guessing that he doesn't want to do all that traveling. And you know, his role was to help them.
Mm-hmm. And he's done
in
he's
NXT.
Done
yeah, he's certainly yeah. done that. And in a way, for me, that kind of makes sense. And it'd be kind of good if we see him turn up back at NXT with another team, because then that sets the storyline, doesn't it, for them to another team to come up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, even if it's just a singles competitor, because I imagine there's plenty of NXT talent who need a voice, need just a presence at times. So yeah, I think he still has a job in WWE. But I'm not surprised he doesn't want to do the full schedule. I'm not sure. He was a manager in WCW, wasn't he?
He was briefly in WWE a long time ago as well, mm-hmm. with the Road Warriors Legion of Doom.
Right.
But I mean, you know, it's good that the AOP come up, that the tag division needs it after it got absolutely buried by, you know, Braun Strowman just destroying them all on his own.
That would have been cool if they battered Braun.
That's what I thought. That would have been the best thing myself. You know, and the kid runs from the ring, you know, frightened. and how do you they batter him. You know, that is them straight away. They're over his heels. Mm-hmm. So instead, you know, we have this, you know, was it a 10-year-old kid, whatever, and it's like, I just thought that was, it might be a nice thing to do for that kid, you know, for whatever reason. I think it was a Make-A-Wish child, which is a really nice thing, but, you know,
There's Make-A-Wish then.
Yeah,
that, isn't there?
And then there's just, you know, there's just annihilating your own tag team division, and mm-hmm. You know, not helping, you getting your entire product over. But what about Paige announcing her retirement then? Because there had been murmurings of it before, and so it's official now. Well, what do you make of that one?
Yeah, it was kind of lost in the event, wasn't it? It wasn't as powerful as say Edge's so many years ago, where it was coming out. Mm. It was like, oh god, that's devastating. I think the fact that we knew Paige had this potential career-ending injury, we've kind of knew it for months now, haven't we?
Yeah.
It kind of took away the power behind
it. Yeah, yeah, I guess it wasn't as much of a surprise. I mean,
yeah, where it just worked the night before,
That's it, and you were like, whoa. Yeah, and the whole
thing. It is sad, though.
Yeah, the same with the Daniel Bryan one as well. I think it is a real shame. I mean, she's still only very young, you know, she's only in her mid-20s. You know, come from British wrestling, and we, you know, when she first came through, she was so aggressive, and it was like, oh, you know, it was really good to have a British wrestler doing so well and look so promising. But yeah, she had obviously off, you know, behind the scenes issues and her injuries, and then she's come back. Yeah, and that whole Absolution thing. The problem I've had is, I think she's kind of missed the point slightly when she's been doing the promos is, you know, really was to use her prominence to really get them over. And I think she kind of missed the point. So I'm hoping, you know, she was announced as the new general manager for SmackDown. I'm hoping that, she does get that and works on that. And then she can, you know, develop her role and her career and, you know, see that as the opportunity to start, you know, putting the other people over, you know what I mean? Rather, I don't sound too harsh. It was just,
it's a weird thing for me. Cause I mean, I'm obviously a big fan of Paige, as well. But I do think the build up since her injury, she has been missed on Raw. Like obviously, you've kind of had, Alexa Bliss dominate and stuff like that, but it needed another heel, and I think Paige was that, whereas Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, I think they have a decent levels of potential, but I don't think they're ready for mic work and stuff like that, whereas Paige, albeit she is getting more Americanized, if that's a word, and it's not the same as when she debuted, but she is obviously more mic ready, she is quite good on the mic, let's be honest. She's better than them, and I think it could have worked long term, but now with Paige kind of just stood on the outside, it looked kind of weird. As SmackDown GM, I think they're gonna, obviously she's probably under contract for so many years, so it's a good way of using her, but also it's probably the first GM SmackDown GM since Vicky Guerrero and Stephanie McMahon, so it'll be quite interesting seeing a young woman being GM and see how her character develops. But also, more importantly, I don't ever want to see that trailer of her again. That ruined, that ruined WrestleMania.
I know it word for word.
Gotta stick that son of a bitch sideways.
Yeah. Find Mary Poppins. Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah. But yeah, I'm happy she's still got a role. On a big role, actually. I'm interested to see how that goes.
So what about the other debut? I mean, we had No Way Jose debut with the conga line.
That lasted.
Yeah, see how long that lasts. Because that worked so well for Adam Rose, didn't it? Having a group of people coming out and it's like, oh, no, why are you doing that?
It didn't work on NXT.
No, the dancing thing.
No. I mean, there was a little bit where I can't remember who it was with. It was either Baron Corbin or who's the cruiserweight who left?
Austin Aries.
Austin Aries. It might have been him. It might have been him feuding with him, and he kind of ditched the gimpy party gimmick.
That's a good point. Yeah, he did the dancing, but he did it during, he didn't do as much on the entrance, and it was more in parts of his match. He would do little bits here and there, and he was more aggressive, and it was like that kind of worked, and it seemed to connect with the crowd more than doing like your gimmick
conga,
is you,
a conga line entrance.
Yeah, you do a conga and you dance, and it's like, is that the gimmick you're going to give him?
You look at him, and you could see why Vince would like him. He's a big bastard, isn't he?
He's got talent and everything. Yeah. Well, he's got charisma. He's got, it's definitely there. It's just like they need to hone it a bit more. So, but I don't. I mean,
just not that arse. Well, he hasn't. I don't think he's seen, mid. He's not been on a takeover event.
He's a mid.
Like four or five. Yeah.
it is unlikely to be anything more than a mid-carder. What about the iconic duo debuting on SmackDown?
It was a weird one. I thought them talking, it felt a bit cringy to me, but the crowd seemed to be kind of getting into it. So that it may have just been me with that one, but I like them beating down Charlotte and stuff like that. It worked. It showed the aggressive side rather than being another lay cool kind of fucking thing.
Well, it also had an impact on the title and what's happened.
Yeah. I mean, they've came in and they've impacted it more than the Riot Squad within 3 seconds. that's a good way of putting it. And they're clearly more ready than Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan. I remember the name this time. But yes, that's a plus point. So they're clearly more ready than that. And it adds another dynamic where you've kind of got a tag team a little friendship group in the women's division that people may actually care about. But no, they've already impacted it more than the Riot Squad and probably Absolute, yeah. Let's be honest.
That's it, yeah, because they set up the cash-in. Carmella cashing in. I mean, good thing, bad thing?
I think it may have been Nathan who put in the group. They're kind of just running out of time with it, aren't they? Because I think Money in the Bank is normally SummerSlam time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think she'll only have it a couple of months. As long as she
doesn't, I think she'll lose it at Backlash, to be honest.
Yeah, as long as she stops screeching. That screeching went through me.
Oh,
my God.
It's painful, isn't it?
Yeah, that was physically torturous. So she's got to stop the screeching. She needs to change her ring gear as well.
I need to bring fucking Ellsworth back.
She needs to go back to the ring gear she had before, because this new one looks...
It does look a bit weird.
It's horrific. Yeah, it's horrific. Yeah. But...
And Ellsworth.
And what else was there SmackDown-wise? As a buy, wasn't it? It was pretty non-eventful again.
You got Randy Orton, number one contender for his title, which he already had a rematch for. As I said, that's the second middle finger about Rusev.
If you found anybody in the WrestleMania audience that actually cared about that match, you'd probably find even less that care about it now.
I think they're just trying to ruin Randy Orton's legacy just by making him more boring every week. It's
Randy Orton.
Yeah, it's fucking...
Yeah.
Turn heel, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, just do something.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But yeah, the main event was good, and I don't think you've seen it yet, have you?
I've seen... Not intently, but I have. Yeah. I've seen parts of it, so...
It was a good match, and as you can imagine, Nakamura heel turned is very much dead set, and albeit the match at Mania was shit, or not shit, but was let down. That's probably a better way. When it was a letdown, but the heel turn is very much interesting.
Oh yes,
I think SmackDown, it developed it quite well. Obviously, Bryan, he's the most popular guy going, isn't he?
Yeah, but the thing is, I think Nakamura as a heel, I think he's going to be enormous fun.
Mm-hmm. So that's what SmackDown was missing as well. It didn't have a top end heel. It obviously had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but they're quite light, so it didn't really work.
Yeah. Kevin Owens wasn't allowed to be Kevin Owens NXT heel.
What the Kevin Owens just before he lost the fucking Universal title?
the Kevin Owens in NXT.
Yeah, he was
obnoxious and aggressive and nasty and vindictive and made people boo him. Yes.
I hope he ends up back on Raw. If he ends up back on Raw, that comes back, it'll be brilliant.
Yeah.
Nakamura. I'm surprised how naturally he is looking as a heel. And I think, I'm not sure if it's just a Vince thing, not liking Japanese people, but he seems to be quite natural at it.
Well, Moore will probably be able to tell you better, but sure that he had a good heel run in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is quite a natural thing for him and his character to be quite heelish. So, Yeah, the only thing I'll say is, there's a certain excitement about seeing a certain matchup for the first time, and you can only get the first time once, and that's it now. There'll never, ever be Daniel Bryan v AJ Styles for the first time.
Yeah.
And
especially with a dodgy finish.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, you give that away for free. You just like, no promotion, no nothing. It was just free on TV, and then you did that finish, and it's like, imagine the anticipation if you told people that was, that's going to be...
Imagine that the main event of SummerSlam.
a main event at an event with 3-4 weeks to build and not get them in the ring together before it. Imagine the anticipation people will get to then watch a match, but hey-ho, hey-ho. Right then, final thing before we go. Superstar shake-up. The whole fiddling draft. About with the draft.
The draft thingy.
What you're expecting? Do you think there's going to be a lot of changes, or maybe it's just sort of half a dozen here and there?
I think they're going to try and fix the mid-card on SmackDown because it really needs it. They fucking reignited the best feud of last year, haven't they, with Jinder Mahal versus fucking Randy Orton. So after that mess is done... Yeah,
wouldn't reignite that.
Fucking hell, a fucking wizard wouldn't reignite that shit. It needs fixing because, if Rusev is rumoured to be leaving and stuff like that, he's the only one who's over. And adding, Ty Dillinger or someone who's in the background of SmackDown into that, it's not going to work. So I think you may need... Samoa Joe would probably go straight in the main event at SmackDown. Maybe he might do, but he's obviously got that thing with Reigns. I could see Finn going. Maybe I think Baron Corbin going to Raw makes sense because he's kind of lost on SmackDown. I think some of the mid-card talent... I'm trying to think of names. It's just weird because there's planned events in Saudi Arabia. And crap
I think we pretty much forget that event because that's kind of... I think that's going to be a bit of a throwaway event, isn't it?
It's not going to be canon, is it?
No.
I think Finn going to SmackDown makes sense. I think the rumours were Seth Rollins, but I think Finn going would make sense.
Mm.
I'd love to see Joe on SmackDown. But I think he has a big place on Raw. I think there might be a big surprise or something. Maybe Braun going to SmackDown. I know he's got really over on Raw and stuff like that, but his only natural feud now is Reigns again, and we've seen that. So maybe him going to SmackDown would be kind of a fresh start for him where he can just be a proper babyface.
I don't know. It's hard to pick, isn't it? Because just worry. The only thing I'd worry about anyone going to SmackDown
is
the booking is horrific.
Yeah,
and they've just even people who are white hot, they're really sort of cooling them down and destroying other people.
They'll be getting beaten by Jinder Mahal.
it's such a shame. There's so much talent on that roster. And it's been so badly used and so badly scripted. So what about Daniel Bryan? Do you reckon we might even see him go to Raw? We've got the whole Miz thing again. Because Daniel Bryan's been on SmackDown for a while. I know he's been as the GM, but that completely changes the face of things, doesn't it?
I'm just trying to think who they could trade for. Because if Bryan goes Balor? There... Is that big enough? I know Balor's popular with smart fans and stuff like that, but Brian's Brian. There's nothing.
Well, nobody else is the pure babyface.
Maybe Brian for Braun. That might make sense to a certain degree because you've got Brian types on SmackDown, the kind of smaller guy. AJ and Brian are kind of comparable, aren't they? Whereas they don't have an athletic big guy. I mean, Corbin, whatever you want to say, bit boring. Whereas, I think, Brian for Braun. That'll probably be my early shout.
Oh, well, be interesting to see what happens and see how many move arounds they are and whatnot. And like you say, you know, we will discuss all of that on next week's show.
Yeah.
Once we know all the facts and who's gone where and why falls, and they might well have a God knows, knowing WWE, they probably won't do it all on TV. There'll be some of it done on something on stupid or, so they'll find some stupid way of doing it.
Are you expecting many call-ups, Andy? I don't know. You kind of skipped NXT a bit there. Almas is the only one jumping out at me.
Yeah, I think Almas is the only one that I'd probably expect at this point because we've had a few debuts. It's difficult. Probably Sanity. I think that would be another one. Maybe Sanity and Almas. And then we get Nikki Cross as part of that as well. And that helps beef things up a little bit. So other
SmackDown,
than that...
SmackDown needs a call-up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because obviously they didn't have one, I don't think.
So other than Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, So it's,
I
think, Sanity and Almas is the only ones that really jump out.
Oh, Sanity versus the Bludgeon Brothers would be fucking fun. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's hard to see much more than that because we've already had the debuts of a few. So, and you don't want to sort of plunder NXT too much because it's just kind of getting into a rhythm. So, and reestablishing some names to get them hot and then bring them up in, you know, over the coming months. So, yeah, it should be interesting. But like you say, we will go through all of that next week once we know exactly what's happening. And as we said as well, you know, this is just part one. This is our kind of gloss over the whole weekend, the whole 5 days. And there was an awful lot. I know exaggerated, but there probably is in excess of 20 hours of TV over 5 days. So that's an awful lot to take in. So, yeah, we've somehow condensed it into about an hour. So we've glossed through the whole thing. But, Guy, you're going to be back with more part two to, like we said, to break down the two cards and give the analysis of the matches.
Oh, aye, I'll be stepping in the hosting chair and I'll get to relive the boring half of it again. hopefully we'll just do 30 minutes on NXT.
Yeah, you are the glue that joins these two shows together. There we go. So that's it from part one. You know, like we say, we will be back for part two for the analysis, and then next week we're going to delve into all the Superstar Shake-Up. So thanks to Guy as always. Thanks to all of you for listening in. Make sure you tune in for part two. Catch us on Twitter at PW_index as well if you so wish to be in contact with us. But for now, from part one until part two and until next week, from me, Andy Wells, here at the Pro Wrestling Index, it's bye-bye now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.